Okay, how y'all today? Tonight? This evening? Y'all good? I'm doing all right. That was a good breakfast this morning. I didn't eat, but it was good. It sure was. Hey, if it's all right with y'all, because I saw it on the program. If it's all right with y'all, I think y'all call it a program, right? What, isn't that what y'all call it? Program of items? Isn't that how y'all say it? That'll do. Y'all understand. My daughter is supposed to be up here right now. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to let her come up here. Hallelujah. Okay. She's a lot like I am. Come on up, Christophe. She don't get very embarrassed, all right? Only if I mess with it. But with other people messing with her, she don't get too embarrassed. So she didn't know exactly what to talk to y'all about, what to say, what to do. So I just told her just to be herself and tell y'all what Jesus is doing through her. And that's what, I don't know what she's going to do.
I'm very blessed and happy to be here with y'all. It's a great honor to me because I've always wanted to be able to come to Australia, but I never had any idea that God would have me talk to people when I came. So I've just been so blessed in my life. Anything that I have been blessed with is because of God and Jesus, and I know that. And I just want to give Him all the glory for anything He has done for me, which is everything. So one of the verses that I want to read to you that is something that I go by, and it gives me courage to be what I need to be in Jesus, is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, through a few of them. It says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in your word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." So I want y'all to hear me that God can save you from anything and everything that you might have problems with. I just could tell you probably every single day of my life something that He has done for me. I almost died 3 months, 3 years ago. I was sick for about 3 months. The doctors had no idea what was wrong with me. I ended up in the hospital and everything. And the doctors said they had nothing to do with why I got healed, but it was my dad's faith in his God and my God that healed me. So thank you, Jesus, that I'm alive and blessed. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm so grateful to God that I have awesome parents and that have trained me. I can't remember a day that we didn't get up early and pray and read our Bibles. And my dad did it with us, and I want to encourage parents as well as young people to get up and do that. And parents, do it with your kids. Don't feel like you're pushing it on them or something. They need it. They need the Word of God and the prayer and they need to see you serving it too. And young people, you can encourage your parents to do it too, and you can get into God's Word and He can help you too. Any person here, I don't care how old you are, God is worthy to be praised by you. So God bless y'all. Thank you very much.
I need you to tell them something. A couple of years ago, after she got healed, we went to this church. This friend of mine, it's a big old thing. Must be 5,000, I don't know. And I told them about that miracle of God healing my daughter. And there was, oh man, it was awesome. There was thousands of people came up for prayer. And I had Crystal up there with me. Y'all have seen her. She's been up here every night praying with me, praying. That's how I teach my children to do it. I don't know if you ever noticed, but I'm always walking over talking to her and my wife, trying to be led by the Holy Ghost and do this thing right. Do you understand? Okay, well, I had her pray for this man. I never saw the man in my life. I really felt like inside, I told her, Crystal, I want you to go over there and lay hands on this fella. Well, she just looked at me, but like she is, she'll do whatever I tell her just because it's right. And she goes over there and lays hands on him. Now, I want you to tell him what happened. Do you mind?
Yes, sir. I didn't have any idea what was wrong with him either because he was already praying by the time I got over there. So I just laid my hands on him and said, God, whatever his problems may be, I pray that you would fix them. And if he's sick, heal him or whatever he needs, I pray that you would grant it, that he would receive what he's asking for. And so then I just went and found Dad and kept praying with him. And then a little while later, we were gone somewhere, and we heard the man called my dad or wrote him a letter or something. I'm not exactly sure. And he said, Brother Hogan, I just wanted to let you know that when your daughter prayed for me, I felt this fire over in my heart and in my chest, and it was just burning me, and I couldn't believe it. And when I prayed for him, he had got knocked out, so that's why I went and found Dad. So he said that he just couldn't hardly bear this fire that was in him, and he said that he had been scheduled to go have heart surgery either the next day or that week or something. And when he went, the doctor said he had no problems whatsoever and he was completely healed, so he didn't have to have anything. Thank you, Jesus. And plus, he wasn't saved or anything, so he ended up getting saved. Thank you, Jesus.
Good girl. That's kind of nice, huh? I guess it's kind of nice to have a daughter like that, love Jesus. I like it. I guess Jesus likes it too. Okay, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6, please, in our Bibles. This is something new we're going to talk about tonight. Hebrews chapter 6. After I left here today, I was quite a number of good questions that were asked to me by the men that were here. So I went back to the house, and Pastor Jan and his family, we was talking. All of a sudden, I just disappeared. Went in the room, and Ben and I was in there all evening. I was thinking, and I was praying, and I prayed for my wife while she was gone, and Crystal, and they were with the ladies and all that. But I was sitting there, and I was thinking about it. And I'm really grateful that I've been able to keep to this track of what God set out on the outset for me to talk to y'all about. And I was just sitting there thinking about it, and God spoke some more things to me. What's that, for me to drink? Oh, thank you very much. I usually forget about it, but thank you anyway. And so I was walking along, and I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost touched me, okay? I really, really got a touch from heaven this afternoon, and I hope I do right by it, in Jesus' name now. It's cool to slip in and walk through, see? That's cool. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Amen? Shite. But see, the Bible says right here in Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 18, that was so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, God, I'm going to have to tell you this again tomorrow morning and tomorrow night. God can't change. Did you hear that? We change, circumstances around us change, but God don't change. God won't deceive us. He will never sit up there and mess around with us. He don't play games with us. And don't you ever believe that he does, because it's a lie. Okay? Because the Bible says, this was so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it was impossible for God ever to prove false or to deceive us. I am thankful for that. I'm very happy for that. You see, I got a phone call this week. Actually, it was last week when I was at Brother Allen's. Week went by, I guess. It might have been Monday. I don't. One of these days here. And one of the missionaries that I work with, Greg Ryder is his name. Boy, the guy's a ball of fire. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost allows me to bring part of my team over here, this boy's going to stand out to you. He's about that tall, little short fella, but he's Cajun. Does anybody in here know what Cajun means? There's a couple of you do. Cajun, they're Americans, but they're mixed French. And they're dark-complected folks, and all of them just about are spitfire. I'm telling you, boy, they are something else. But this guy here is turned on to God. And I'm very thankful to God for him working with me. It's an honor for me and my family to have him. And he has five children. His wife's a woman of God, and they're a blessing. Well, when I left the country to come over here, I told all those fellows to be aware that the Holy Ghost is going to be with them, but also understand that the demon's coming after them. Because when I'm away from the work, it makes them totally responsible for what we're doing. So with the responsibility comes another level that you have to walk in. And to walk in that level means you have to fight principalities and powers in a different way than maybe you're used to. Well, he began to get sick. Old Greg did. And Greg, I'm telling you, he's a fighter. Scrapper. He's a good boy. I mean, he's a man, actually. But to me, he's a boy. He's younger than me. People that's older than me, his grandma, people that's younger than me, his boy. So it ain't nothing personal. Hallelujah. And so, Brother Greg, have y'all ever heard of the dengue fever? Okay. Brother Greg started getting weaker and weaker and weaker till finally he started having blood run out of his nose. And he come home. He went out to tell the brothers that he was too sick. He couldn't even drive his truck. And he was wobbling all over the road. I mean, the demon come after this guy. Not only did he try to kill him, but he come on his wife too. And he laid down. He told his wife, "I'm just going to lay down for a nap." And he never got out of bed for 5 days. You understand? He was sick. Sick boy. Real sick. Alright? He don't realize that after he had been in bed a few days, that his wife got sick now. With the same thing. Another five children got sick. How old is Courtney? 13? His oldest daughter is 13. Alright, now you gotta understand, there's no other Americans around. There's nobody else to depend on. There's no one to rely on but Jesus. Now, Courtney's 13 years old, little young woman, and she's there. She's got four brothers and sisters, and how old is that little boy? Weston? Is he a year? He's a little boy, a little baby, a little bitty baby. And here, Mama and Daddy both are sick. She's got to take care of them, and they're both almost dead on her now. I'm not kidding you. And she's got to keep that house, take care of all them kids, and there's nobody can help her. Well, that's awesome, huh? All right. So what do? When you're 13 years old and your mom and daddy's in the bed dying and your brothers and sisters are hungry, well, the only thing you can do, you can call on Jesus. See, this is why we teach our kids at such a young age to pray and fast, to seek the Lord. Because you never know when you're going to need the Holy Ghost. And so, Brother Greg, he was kind of coming out of it. He was on the fifth day and everything, but he was still down. And it was nighttime, and his wife was delirious now. She got up out of bed. He didn't know. He was too weak to handle her. His daughter and all of them are sleeping. All of a sudden, he hears this slam noise. He couldn't even walk. He crawled into the bathroom to find his wife laying where she had passed out, and the whole side of her head's gashed open. I mean, this thing is serious. And they're all going to die. Well, here comes the daughter rushing in. She's not big enough to handle a situation. So it's completely out of hand. So what do you train your people to do in this situation? Well, what do y'all dial to get the emergency here? 111, 911, what do y'all? Really? 000. That's different than us. That's different than New Zealand, too. They dial 111 over there. We dial 911. Well, 91 is 0, I guess, huh? 10. So anyway, there's a 0 somewhere in there. In my brain, it's a 0 in there. But we don't have that opportunity where we work, okay? We have to trust Jesus. Then we train our kids to trust Jesus. And y'all, the Holy Ghost The Holy Ghost touched that family and healed them both instantly from dengue fever. Isn't that pretty good? Y'all like that? I like it. I'm glad they're alive. And now, I've been telling you all week about, you know, Indians and such as that in my personal family, but this just happened, and I'm going to tell you something. After him being healed of this dengue fever, there ain't no telling what that boy will be flying by now. He's just an awesome preacher. He's a good guy. And he loves to preach the gospel. And I like him around me. Because I like to preach the gospel also. Because of this Bible verse right here, verse 18. I'm going to read it to you again. You know, it's something new we're going to talk about here. It says in my Bible, it says, this was so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God ever to prove false or to deceive us. That's an awesome statement, church. I mean, you have to get a hold of it. You just have to. God won't let us down. It doesn't matter what you see. It don't matter the percentages or the results of what you're seeing around you. It matters what the Word of God says. It matters what the Word of God says. And it's pretty awesome to me. And I like it a lot. A whole lot. All right. Look at this. We're going to go jump over here to Ephesians chapter 5 here. Is that all right with y'all? Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to look at something here in verse 17. See, I've noticed that you people have a pretty good attitude. Like I say, I'm always paying attention and trying to watch you. There's lots of problems around. And some of you are trying to hide them. And some of you aren't. You know, but the name of Jesus is what we're going to have to rely on. You're going to have to, one of these days, trust somebody to pray with you. Because you're not going to be able to walk this by yourself. This was not set up for the Lone Rangers. This was not set up for me to be able to do it by myself. This scripture, this Bible, this gospel was set up for a church, for a body, to be able to work together to get the power of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that? That's how come whenever I've seen all these great miracles in a house, and they're fun. And just like with Greg and them, even though I'm not there, man, it's awesome to me that God touched them, and I'm blessed they're alive and healthy now. But that's how come when I stand up here, and I want the prayer team with me praying, because God can use people. I'm telling you, there's a song. Crystal, help me with this. Who wrote that song about the shepherd boy? Ray Bolts. Y'all know Ray Bolts, any of y'all? Some of you, yes. Some of you know. Well, Ray Bolts wrote a song called All I See Is a Shepherd Boy, But God Sees a King. Do you understand that? See, what I see out of my eyes, it may not be exactly what the Holy Ghost is going to do. So I have to be open to the body of Christ, because I might just be looking at a shepherd boy, and God may have a groomed king in my midst. Do you understand? So that's how I'm always looking and I'm always watching, because there's liable to be a king standing right beside me, but all I see is a shepherd's staff. Huh? Pretty good, huh? I like it. So does Jesus. Jesus likes it too. Because he gave that boy that song. That was from the Holy Ghost. Wish I knew how to sing it. Boy, if I could get it to Brother Roy, he'd do it right. I'll tell you that. That's what you need. There ain't no way to get it, is it? Boy, oh boy. Boy, you do that song some justice, boy. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. It says right here, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Church, we don't want to be foolish any longer. Don't you understand how long we've been ripped off? Don't you understand the mistakes we've made and what it's cost us? I know you know that. So do I know it. I don't like being a foolish individual. I don't like making mistakes. You got to realize God won't lie to us. God's not changeable. We're going to have to do it His way to get the results that we're looking for. And I want to. I want to do it His way. Man, I'm wide open for it. Whatever's wrong with me, you know what I pray? I pray this every morning that I'm at my desk. I pray, God, whatever is not of you, of the love of God that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, whatever is not of your love, Burn it off of me. I don't even want it touching me or around me. And God's doing that. I'm telling you, I was a seriously rough character, even out of the pulpit a few years ago. You think I'm rough now? I'm a blessing now. Man, boy. Man, he's talking about a rough cut diamond, boy. I was rough, and I'd cut. Oh, boy. Oh, it was. Oh, boy, I don't see how people put up with it. It was just their grace and mercy that allowed them to have patience with me so God could bring me on. But then one day, I started praying that chapter. I pray that chapter often. You can ask my family. I'll get that thing out, and I'll pray it with them. This is what we're going to be, because we don't want to be just sounding cymbals. We don't want to have all the faith to move mountains, but in the end, be nothing and lose my own soul. I'll not have it in the name of Jesus. We will walk in the Holy Ghost. Do you understand me, church? Is anybody with me? Hallelujah. We will understand what the will of the Lord is. And the will of the Lord is to understand that God can never lie. And we can take His word, and we can believe His word, and we can trust His word. Hallelujah. Thank Him, I said. Hallelujah. It says right here, don't be drunk with wine. That's what people want to be. When I talk about getting drunk, they say, oh, no problem. Here, I got some money. Let's go. I'm not talking about that kind. I grew up under ministry where you got men 40, 50 years in the Lord preaching the gospel, and they get in a room together and they would not leave until they were all plastered. That's how I grew up. I grew up knowing the right thing to do is to let the Holy Ghost have you. That's how I grew up in the Lord. That's how come I'm a lot of the way I am, is by watching these mentors and these men be the way they are. They're good people. They're not going to move till heaven touches them. You don't see that anymore. You don't see people staying with God until God hits them. You don't see it. Man, they got a movie to go watch. They got a rugby match. They got a hairdressing appointment. They got fingernails to get done. Hey, God's got to wait a minute. That's just the way we think. That's why we don't get healed. We've got to understand what the will of the Lord is. And it's not to be drunk with the excessive wine of materialism. Let Babylon should never choke us. We should be so filled with the Holy Ghost that it, even though we have to go in it, we have to wear the nice clothes and drive the cars and all of the things we have to do, there's nothing wrong with the car. It's the person driving the car. I'm telling you, that's right. That's right. And it says right here, speaking to yourselves. Oh boy, I like it. You know, when I get around folks, I don't want to know much except Jesus is Lord. I don't want to talk to you. I don't have anything else in common with you other than Jesus. So that's what I talk about. Do you want to know something? The Indian brothers that I work with, I have diligently watched my conversation over the last 20 years, and they know nothing of America. All they know out of my mouth is Jesus. I've diligently watched that. They don't know anything about how I live, where I come from, what I do. They know I'm from the state of Louisiana in the United States of America. That's all they know. That's all they need to know. They need to know that God called me there and I'm staying with them. And I might be a different color and I might talk different, but I'll tell you this right now, I've got the Holy Ghost. And that's what they need. They need to understand what the will of the Lord is. They don't need to understand all about me and know me so they can find a loophole in the way I am. They need Jesus out of me, and that's all they're going to get. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Jesus. I know some of y'all have been here. Y'all been talking to me. Y'all been saying this. And my answer to you every time, Jesus will take care of it for you. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm going to give you God's opinion. I know you get a little frustrated with it because you say to me, yeah, I know that. But the thing is, you don't know it. So that's why I have to keep telling you and admonishing you. Jesus is our answer. Knowing and understanding what the will of the Lord is, that's our answer. And admonishing each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melodies in your heart to the Lord. That's all that counts. That's all that's important. Everything else is temporal. I'm telling you, right now, I've noticed Y'all women are wearing this color green. See this color green right here? Y'all are into it over here. I mean, boy, every store I've walked by has got this color green in women's fashions right now. Do you know the next time I come, it's going to change? Hey, ain't no telling what color it'll be, but it won't be green anymore. You know, and I'm not knocking that. Get you a green dress and wear it. It won't hurt my feelings at all. I'm not going to wear an old dress, but you can. That's not the point. Green or not green or dress. That's not the point. The point is Jesus. Okay? The point is Jesus. Look, I've got to try this. I've got to try it. Hebrews, we're going to do. I'm going to do one verse in Hebrews first. Hebrews chapter 13. It's the last chapter in the book of Hebrews. One verse. Verse 15. Hebrews 13:15. The Bible says, by Him, Jesus. It doesn't say by the Australian dollar, the American dollar, the governments of any land. It says by Jesus. Y'all understand that? By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How? How often? Continually. That's often enough. You know, it doesn't make any difference how tired you are. I'm telling you, I've been driving home from services in Mexico after 2 or 3 days of being up. I am so tired. I mean, the road's moving. Oh, man, it's awesome how those roads move around. Got to catch those things, man. It's really something. But the thing is, I plug in my tape player and I start worshiping Jesus. I start letting old Ray Bowles or Walt Mills or whoever the people are that sing to me all the time. I don't even know the names, most of them. But boy, they can sing praises to God. So I continually let... It's funny how when I start letting the praise of God come out of my mouth, how the road straightens up. It's not two or three roads out there anymore. It's just one all of a sudden. It's pretty fun. And I'm not drunk with wine. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, we've got to be of the mindset of the Holy Ghost to continually give God the glory and praise and honor all the time, no matter where we are. See, look, I got myself into a little trouble by doing this. It's against the law in Mexico in federal buildings to worship God. But it isn't written over any of the doors, so I didn't know that. So I'm sitting in there with these Indians. Now, Indians are the bottom of the caste. They're the lowest in the society. You understand? So they're never even recognized. When a politician or somebody great walks by us, they salute me, but they don't even look at those guys. And that really burns me up. Because they're human beings. They're worthy of respect just the same as I am. And so, whenever one of those guys will walk by with the, you know, $500 suits on and all this $50 hairdos and all that business, and they, good morning. You know, to me, I just start, hallelujah! I just start worshiping Jesus. Well, that's against the law, and I don't know it. And I go, what? That guy scares the fire out of me. And that's all right. Scare those politicians a little bit. It's fun. They need a little excitement. Those guys do. So finally, I get called in to these. There's these four lawyers. All right? And they're federal lawyers. And they tell me, we go in there. It's myself and these Indian leaders. And we go in there. They tell me, did you know that it's against the law for you to worship your God in this building? I said, I'll be. I didn't know that. I said, God didn't tell me that. His law is higher law. Oh, but you don't understand. But we can have you fined. We can put you in jail. I said, this is no different than the jungle then. The reason we're here is because we've been fined and put in jail for worshiping Jesus in the jungle. And I've come here to get help from you, and you're telling me we can't do it here? Well, I'll tell you what. I just rebuked the whole bunch of it. How do you like that? And that guy looks at me. He says, He said, "That sounds familiar." I said, "Oh boy, here we go." I said, "Oh no, this is trouble for David here." I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" He said, "Do you know a man by the name of Daniel Chaos?" I said, "Do I know him? I worked for him for 6 years." He said, "No wonder you talk like that," he said. And listen, this really happened. In less than an hour from almost going to jail for worshiping God to where me and these Indians, these lowest caste people that there is, were laying hands on the highest caste of the land. Awesome, eh? Come on, Jesus. Man, I like that. I really like it. This gospel is something, isn't it? You got the lowest class Indians available laying hands on the highest class people of the land. And guess what happened to them? They were driven, all of them, four, to their knees. And tear, mascara and hairdos flying everywhere. Man, it was awesome, I tell you. Boy, I like the gospel. That's fun to me. And guess what? Now we have an end in the government we never had before. Those people trust us because we were bold enough to worship our God even if it was going to cost us a jail sentence. Isn't that something? Man, you're a lunatic. No, I'm not. I'm led by the Holy Ghost. I understand what the will of the Lord is. And that's to offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually. Hallelujah. Well, I wouldn't have done that. That's right. And you'd have been 16 more years getting your paperwork out of the federal government, too. That's right. But there's times when the government has to move to the Holy Ghost. Did you hear me? Now, I am not disrespectful. I am very respectful to the flags. And I'm patriotic. I'm all of those things. And you're supposed to be, in my opinion. That is my opinion. Okay? I'll tell you how patriotic. When the United States entered that Gulf War a few years ago, my son, who's 24 now, was of age to be drafted into the Army, Armed Forces of the United States of America. And because I am a minister in foreign soil, I can get him out. You know what I told him? I'm not going to get you out. If they call you up, I want you to go serve proudly our country, our God, and our family. That's how patriotic David is. Now, you don't agree? That's your business. But I believe it's right to serve God and the King. That's what the Bible says. Okay? So now, that's more about that business, that submission stuff that he was talking about. I'm into it, and I'm serious about it. Now, my wife and I, we prayed, "Oh God, shut that thing off. I don't want him to go, but I want him to preach the gospel. I want him to give his life and heart to Jesus in the gospel." And he didn't have to go. And of course, we're happy about that, but we would have had to let him go. Do you understand? You understand a little bit anyway, right? Now, I want to try something here. Let's go over here to the gospels. We're going to go into, let's see which one we're going to do first. Got two of them here. Got to try to make it through both of them. Since we started early, I got an extra hour and a half. That's no problem. Luke first. Now, we're fixing to talk about something. Don't worry, I'm not going to take an extra hour and a half. I don't think. See, I've been trying to give you scripture for the things I've been saying. I've been doing it actually. Whether you know it or not, I've been just feeding you, planting, and watering at the same time. And God's going to give the increase. Other people are going to water it also. There will be fruit out of this. I'm telling you, from now on, this gospel thing is an eternal thing. And when you do something according to the will of God, it don't bear fruit for a short time, it's eternally. I'm telling you, you'll see. Now, Luke 17, and I want you to look at verse 12 or 11, and we'll start, go down a few verses, because there's something here that God has let me see it, and I want to tell you, this is probably going to be about pretty awesome to some of you. Some of you is going to really kick back on your chair and raise your eyebrows now. But I want you to. I want you to. Man, we got to go for it. I only got three more services with you. Here we go. It says right here in Luke 17, verse 11, it came to pass as Jesus went to Jerusalem that Jesus passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as Jesus entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, and they stood afar off. Now, first place, this is different than the other people I've been telling you about. The other people I've been telling you about run right up to Jesus, fall down, and begin to worship him. These people stood afar off. It was against the law for them to come close to a human being that was clean. You understand what I mean by clean? They didn't have leprosy. All right. If they snuck up on somebody and they touched them, they would be murdered. They would be killed. You understand? So they have to do these little noise things and holler unclean and all sorts of stuff to let people know that lepers are coming so they can clear the way so they wouldn't get infected with leprosy. All right. But they heard about Jesus, you see. And here they come and found him. And they're standing far off from him. Now watch this. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. How many people in here have seen leprosy up close? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, boy, that's not very many people. I was expecting you to have a better understanding of what I'm talking about. But it's the same way in the United States. Lepers are hid from the general public. It's an awesome disease. There's no cure. And when it gets on you, it joint by joint takes your body apart and kills it. And it falls off on the ground. It is a devil from hell. You got that? It is. I'm telling you, it's a devil. And so this here, these guys here, they've got it, you know. And they said, and Jesus saw them. He just looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priest. He didn't have some great booming prayer. He didn't quote any bunch of Mosaic scriptures and laws. He just said, go show yourself to the priest like you're supposed to do. And then the priest will deem them clean, and they don't have to go around hollering at unclean misses anymore. All right. And okay, so all Jesus did was say a few words to them. Did you hear me? There was no great acts. There was no great nothing. There was just a few words out of Jesus' mouth. And it says right here, and it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. You see that? I like that. In another couple of places, Jesus broke the law. He touched unclean people. He touched lepers, and they were clean. All right. But here, he just spoke to them. Go show yourself to the priest. And when they heard the word go, they obeyed. Now, I can show you in the New Testament 4 or 5 scriptures where the gospel tells us as believers to go into all the world. But we don't go. That's why you don't see the miracle. Because these lepers, they immediately obeyed. They obeyed right now. And they went. They turned to go in obedience to the Holy Ghost, to the Lord Jesus. And it says in verse 15, but one of them, now check this out, one of them is so happy that he's healed. He comes running back. Look at this. It says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. I mean, think about that. Could you imagine being a leper and just, and a man, you walk up to this man, you've only heard about him. But you walk up to him, not even real close. And he just says, go show yourself to the priest. And that's all he told you. And as you turn and walk it off, man, we show movies over in Mexico, the whole book of Luke, we have it about the Lord Jesus. And we have it in Spanish and in Nahuatl. And when we show, you should see when these 10 lepers get healed. You should see they've done an excellent job. Boy, it's awesome how those boys got healed. And that guy, when he turns around and runs back and falls at the feet of Jesus and begins to worship him and thank him and, oh, praise you, thank you, oh, you're worthy, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. It's scary. I mean, my heart just, I mean, I almost explode. I've been saved for 1,000 million years now. And, I mean, my heart just blows up, boy. because tears come to my eyes. Well, you know, the other day when we was watching that Reinhard Bunke thing and all them wheelchairs and stuff, did you see what happens to me? I mean, it just, I can't help it because I've seen too much now. I've seen that Holy Ghost do it, and I really like this gospel. Because you see, if you'll worship Jesus, your leprosy, and you know, leprosy doesn't necessarily come on the body, it also comes in spiritual form. Did you know that? I'm telling you, you can be just as clean and healthy outside, but I mean the inside of you can be completely bandaged up. I mean that leprosy can have you bent, gnarled, and mangled inside. Your mind and your spirit can be in bondage to the demon. But I'm telling you that Jesus wants to set us free. I'm telling you, Jesus is our answer. Jesus, 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 Jesus is King. Hallelujah. You got to understand, the reason I feel this way is because of a little old lady. You see, they wouldn't let her come into town. They wouldn't let her come to the city. You know why? She was a leper. So you know what they did with her? They run her outside of the city. They wouldn't help her build a house. They wouldn't give her any food. So how are you going to stay alive? How are you going to do it? The great cathedrals are in town. I mean, they raise up to the sky. There's millions and millions of pesos in there. But you want to get a little bit of that money to help that poor leper out there? Never! They won't give it up. And so these people, these brothers, we got a new work going, and they told me, we know where there's a lady. She lives, I don't know, is a lady called a hermit as well as a man? Is that right or not? Yeah. She was having to live a hermit life because, man, who would want that stuff in their family in the first place? You know, you kind of understand them, don't you? You know, man, there's fear of getting that thing. Well, it just eats you up. I mean, that's like the new thing here is now. You know, in the 90s, here we got this new thing called AIDS. Everybody's afraid of that thing. Christians that love God, they're afraid of it. It's the same thing as leprosy is. And so this little old lady, they brought me to her. They didn't know the name of the disease she had, actually. And I got there at this little old house. Listen, I'm telling you, it's about like this square up here. And it was sticks. And she had to build it. And it was kind of leaning, and it wasn't done right. And I don't know why it wasn't falling over. I guess just God holding it up till I could get there. And I went in, I had to bend down through this little bitty door. And I walk in there, and, you know, and there's a bundle of flesh. You know, I can't tell what's wrong with her. And she's just peeping out through this blanket, you know, looking at me. She said, "You can't come here. You must leave. You must leave." I said, "No. No, move that blanket. Let me see what's wrong with you." She said, "They've warned me. They've warned me. I can't do it." I said, "I don't care who they are." And I reached and got that blanket and jerked it off of her. Oh, Lord Jesus. She was destroyed with leprosy. It was sickening. It was awful odor. It was the eyes. It was repulsive. Everything about it is scary. And the demon spoke to my mind. "You touched it. Now you got it." Let me give y'all some advice about that, if you'll hear me. If you'll take a little advice. Now, this is an opinion. When the devil speaks that into my mind, I can tell you almost 100% of the time, we get victory. Yes, sir. And I like it. I really do. You like the devil talking to you? Of course not. But I like it because he's afraid of me. So he has to strap this fear on you. Has to work on your mind and mess with you because he wants you backing up. Ah, no way. That's when you get aggressive. When the demon comes, that's when you go after it. And you hold your ground. And you look at him and say, "Not today, buddy." And a guy walks up to you, like me, that grabs a blanket off of you, defies everything and all the laws that's been said about you, and tells you, "Do you know Jesus can take that thing off of you?" And you look at it, and the thought of it, just, you know, Just the thought of it hit her mind, and I saw her wander off from me. Just for a moment, I could just be healed. I could just see her thinking and dreaming about it. And I said, ma'am, listen to me. I'm not lying to you. Jesus not only can, Jesus will. Yeah. And she says to me, she started trembling and the odor. Oh, God help her. Oh, Jesus. Oh, rough. Man, I hate it. Oh, man. You know, I'm a big old strong fellow, but in certain circumstances, I got a weak stomach. Especially when it comes to rotten flesh hanging off of somebody. Oh, Lord. I don't like it. Ooh. I don't like it at all. But I like the gospel. So the gospel's got me there. So now I can't allow the repulsiveness of the devil. I can't allow the odor, not what I can see, not what I can smell, not what I can hear, nor what I touch. I cannot allow that to affect nor infect my faith. Are you hearing me? I have to be strong. Not, you know, I could back out of there, wash my hands. I'm all right. I'm not being strong for me, Pastor. I'm being strong for her. She can't trust Jesus. People have let her down. Her body has let her down. Her family has let her down. She's been betrayed by everything that there is. How am I going to get through to that? Huh? There's no way. I don't believe a counselor. That's not the answer, counseling. You can't counsel leprosy off somebody. You just can't do it. But you can speak to that thing in the name of Jesus and it'll obey. In Jesus' name. Y'all, it was awesome. I prayed for her in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I command you, you lepers, you be cleansed in Jesus' name. Because you see, Jesus did it. That means I can do it. You know why that means that? Let me read it for you. I got my Bible already turned to it. It's that one in John 14 we've been talking about here. Verse 13, it says, I will do. I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name as presenting all that I am so that the Father may be glorified. Hallelujah. And extolled in and through the Son. Oh, I like that. I like it. Yeah. That's good. Good. Boy, you better calm down. You're starting to lose it. No. I won't calm down. Because you know why? Because I saw it. I saw it. That's what's wrong with me. I've seen it. And it works. This gospel, oh boy, oh, this thing is real. Because you see, I grabbed this lady. Y'all know how I grab you by the right under the chin, some of you. I grab you and hang on to you. You know, you try to get away, it's too late once I got a hold of you. You're not getting away. I grab that little old lady under the chin, and I mean sores, drip, goo. Oh. Boof. And you say to it, I'm so thankful Jesus is setting you free. What if you was her? You'd like to see me, wouldn't you? Yes, sir. See, what if you was that lady? You wouldn't care how I was dressed. You wouldn't care how I addressed the thing. You know what you'd care about? Do you reckon he's telling the truth? Could it remotely be possible? See? And then I look at her and I say to her, now, we've prayed for you. Now, I see that you don't have any dishes. I see that you don't have any food. I'm sending you some food today. And see, that's important because, see, if I'm telling the truth and then I come across with some things to help her, then she might start believing a little bit. And so, man, I had some families bring her some food, and I gave them money and bought them some little utensils, and you could rig her whole house out in less than $50. I mean, she don't need anything. It's just her and the devil. I mean, that's and she's in so much trouble.
She's in so much pain. Jesus. And so I told her, I've got to go now, but I'm coming back here. It seemed like it was 10 days. And so, boy, I bought a whole box of rice and beans and chilies and some little treats and things that I know Indians like. And so I bought them a whole bunch. For her, it would have lasted weeks. And it didn't cost me hardly nothing. And boy, I was so happy about it to help her. And I go there, and it never once crossed my mind that she'd be dead. Did you know that? Well, what if she dies, David? You have to think about that. No, I don't. I have to think about Jesus. Didn't you remember what I read to you out of Colossians chapter 3 the other day? Think on these things. I didn't read that. That's why you didn't know. But it's the first three verses anyway. Think on these things. Think on these things. Okay? Where Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Oh, that's what I think about. I think about the victory. I run it over in my mind how fun it's going to be to hand her these groceries and sit there while this grandma makes me something to eat. Because if she's any bit better, she's not going to let me out of there without eating with her. And I walk up, you know, and I got my little groceries, and I feel so good about myself, and I knock on the little door. She's not there. Oh, no, my heart sank. Oh, no, because there's nobody to ask. There ain't any neighbors. She lives way out yonder by herself, a mile or so away from town. There's nobody to ask. And I'm sitting there, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, what am I going to do? And here she comes walking up. Now, I looked at her. I said, what are you doing up? She said, that Jesus you told me about, he came in here and touched me about 3 days ago. Woo! I like that. I like it. I like the gospel. And I said to her, look at this box here. I got you so much stuff in here. Oh, and she, here we're both digging in there. I mean, it's just like we knew each other the rest of our life. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, it was just like she was my mama or grandma or somebody. I mean, oh, man, ooh, ha, he, ooh, ha, he. She said, well, you got to come in here, son. I got to fix you something to eat. I said, I just happen to have the time. And she brings me in there, and I sit on the floor. There ain't no chairs. And so I'm sitting on the floor, and she has this little bitty fire, and there's a couple of Indians with me, and they're just looking at me, just shaking their head. Because leprosy obeyed the name of Jesus. Did you hear me? Now, I'm going to go a step further with you. Now that we got her healed, I wanted her whole. Do you know the difference? Healed is good as it gets. But whole is heaven. I mean, if I can get them fingers back on her, Brother Jan. If she can have those nubs. They're healed now. They're healed. Okay, little nubs. They're healed. But what if I get her another hand? Wouldn't that be nice? Come on! So, I tell her, I said, now, we're going to do something. And I brought over here to this thing. Look, I got to read it with you. It says in verse 15, and one of them turned back and with a loud voice was glorifying God, and he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan, considered by Jews to be dogs that crawl on the ground. You understand that? It's important for you to understand who this man was to Jesus, supposedly. He was the bottom of the cast. He was the guy that everybody steps on to go across the mud hole. This is him. But out of the 10 of them that had leprosy, who was back worshiping Jesus? That's important. See, if you're already on the bottom, you got nothing to lose. But when you're messing with Jesus, you've got it all to gain. Oh, I like that. Oh, 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 this is good. Oh, this is good. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. This is awesome. I like it so much. This gospel is awesome. Shete. Deliva. She's sitting there. She cooked me that little old meal. And I ate them little old beans and rice. It takes a long time to cook. So I talked to her a lot about glorifying God. And I say to her, now, you don't probably want to know this, but I'm fixing to go to church. It'd be just one of the... I would love it if you'd go with me. She said, you mean you would let me go with you? I said, I don't know a better person. Man, I would rather have you than my wife right now. I'm telling you, man, you are an awesome person. You are somebody Jesus died for. You are somebody Jesus healed. You are somebody important. You are somebody that matters. You see how I view it? That's no... Miss Hogan knows that ain't no cut on her. She's very secure in our relationship. Let me tell you this right now. But to put her in the position where I would like her with me, the same as Miss Hogan, now she's got somewhere. Because you understand, according to the societies around the world, I am the top of the ladder in all the cast. Do you get it yet? So for her to go with me makes everybody that once looked down on her below her. Did you understand that? Now we've got somewhere. Now we've done something. In one prayer, we've brought her from the bottom to the top. But that ain't all Jesus wants to do with her. And so I'm trying to explain all that to her. But she is so happy, she don't hear me. I get her to church, and all she wants to do is tell them how healed she is. Can you believe somebody like that? I just don't know what to think about somebody that is so happy that all they want to do is talk about how healed they are. Most people want to talk about how bad things are. But she was so happy. Do you understand? She has the same house. She has the same old ragged clothes. She has the same old nothing in the house. She has just a few old pots I bought her and just a little bit of food. Nothing has changed except her heart. Woo! Do you get it yet? I like it. And I told the brothers, we're going to pray for her, for God to make her whole. And you know what? We brought her back home, and we prayed for her, blessed her house. I gave her a little bit of money. I said, now you go into that town, you get you some new pretty dresses. You buy two dresses. And you walk up into the best store in town, and you tell them, I sent you. And if they have any trouble, you tell them to take it up with me. And she did that, and they didn't have any trouble. You know why? Because she didn't have leprosy and she had money. Do you hear me? Okay. And also, I was helping her. So that makes a difference. Do you understand how you can make a difference to somebody? Just a few little nickels is all. It wasn't very many, much money, but that's not the point. The point is change their heart and everything will be fine. And I went back there 2 weeks. It was exactly 14 days later. I went back there, and I got me another box of groceries, and I feel good about myself because she's healed. And I saw God do a thing that few people have ever seen. You see why I'm touched? You see what's wrong with me? You see why I like it? Because anybody can talk, can't they, Miss Hogan? But there's only a few that can walk. Oh, I like it. Yeah, this is good. I feel so good about this. I knew Jesus touched me today. And He's going to touch you tonight. I'm telling you. I can feel it. See, the problem is when I start laughing like this. Because it's already done. It's already done. Yeah, you're right. And I went back to that lady's hut, and I went in there with my little groceries, and I knocked on the door, and she was waiting for me. She said, I got your plate already served, Brother Hogan. She said, because you was on time last time. She said, you didn't lie to me. Your God didn't lie to me. Do you see how I win them? I don't lie to them. If I'm going to be there at this time, I'm there at that time. You don't lie to them. I've got not one lie to an Indian, not one. Oh, you're in pride. No, I'm not. I'm in integrity. Do you hear any difference? Honor integrity, faithfulness. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And that's what people are looking for. Hallelujah. You can put up with me being a nut as long as I've got integrity. Did you know that? See, I know that. And so I use it on you. Guess what? Somebody tell me about my little lady. New fingers. Oh, there's one other small detail. There's a brother here that I've been praying for every night with skin problems. Listen to me. Are you here tonight? Okay, you listen to this. You listen to this. She had had sores on her body around her ears. It was trying to take her ears off and all that. She had this leprosy on her body, and God healed her. Boom. Hallelujah. But there were scars. But then, when I asked him, oh, let's worship him. Oh, let's be made whole. Hallelujah. Let's go the next step. Let's dare to believe him for who he is, and that's Creator. Now I went beyond you. Woo, woo! I took the step. And I got what I was looking for. I got new fingers. But that's not all I got. I got new skin on the lady. Hallelujah! Jesus is awesome. I like this gospel. It's so fun. Isn't it? Isn't the gospel fun? I've been preaching this for 20 years, and it's still fun to me. Because I can tell you're taking energy from me. You're believing me tonight. That's good. You're taking energy. That's God to take virtue like that. Just go ahead and take it to yourself in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, all right, I want to jump. Good. I'm doing good. I want to jump into something else. We're going to have to move on from the dengue fever and the leprosy to something else. Let's go over to Mark, the Gospel of Mark. See, my Bible says in verse 13, I'm reading it out of this Amplified in John 14, it says, "And I will do, I myself will grant." Oh, you don't mean he really means it. You don't reckon he's not a liar. You don't mean God really means what he says in the Bible. Yes, he does. He does, church. And we can have it. This thing is real. Hallelujah. Mark, let me see what chapter. Yeah, I'm right. I am already turned there. Y'all just didn't hear it yet. Mark 16, 6. Now, I'm going to have to ask you for a couple of minutes of patience, because this thing here has got to be dealt with. That's all there is to it. Because there's something going on that you got to hear about. This is so much fun to me. Here we go. Mark chapter 6, verse 36. Mark 6, 36. Oh, are you ready for this? Jesus says to them, "Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." And he answered and said to him, oh, I like this, "Give ye them to eat." Did you hear that? Well, what's wrong with you? Just give them something to eat. Oh, no, you didn't hear me. This is beyond food here. You've got to have enough in you by the Holy Ghost to give somebody else. And it's got to be good food. And it's got to be the kind of food that they can be healed over and delivered over. You got it. When Jesus looked at them, he knew. You don't reckon him running around with them 24 hours a day, you don't reckon he knew they didn't have enough bread to give them folks? Jesus was not naive and goofy. The man was intelligent. He knew there wasn't enough bread in his company to feed all them 5,000 men. What was he doing? What's he saying here? He's saying, this thing is real. He's saying it doesn't matter how little you think your portion is. You bless it and you give thanks for it to the name of Jesus, and God can use it for anything. It doesn't matter. You say, Brother Hogan, I'd like to support your ministry. I don't have a lot of money. That ain't what he's asking for, is a lot of money. I don't have a lot of time. He don't want all your hours. Do you hear what I'm trying to say to you? He say, you give them something to eat. And they look at him, well, Jesus, we ain't got enough bread. My Lord, man, that'd be 200 denarii worth. Boy, there ain't nothing next village. All the excuses that you give. We got to move from the natural to the supernatural. You got to get your mind. The devil has got us in ruts. Y'all know what a rut is, right? It's a grave with open ends. Y'all know that, don't you? Of course you do. Some of you's in it. You want out of it. Well, I'm going to help you get out. These ruts have got to be dug out. We got to dig you out of there. We got to get you to where the smallest portion that you got, it doesn't matter that it's, what is it, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How can that feed 5,000 men? It can't by looking at how much the quantity is. But look at the quality of the man blessing it, and you got no problem. I'm trying to talk you into believing God for miracles here. And I am talking some of you into it, because it's going in you. It ain't coming back on me. I can feel it going into some of you. And I like that. I like it. Yeah! Because what's this? Oh, this is good. Because I'm fixing to really twist you up some more. We're going to get tighter and tighter before this night's over, boy. I'm telling you right now. It says right here, give ye them to eat. And they said, what? What's wrong with you, Jesus? You're supposed to be a prophet. You know, blah, 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 blah. But you see, he's not thinking like they are. But did he have patience with them? Absolutely. He didn't quit them just because they didn't believe him. He said, what do you have? Oh, man, we looked through all this place and all the, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all we got. But how is that going to feed so many people? You know, you hear him? He's not answering the remarks. He's just telling them, put the people down on the green grass. You see, Jesus didn't put you in the old dry desert here. He set you down on some nice, comfortable carpet. He's fitting through after a while, some of y'all too, right down here. I'm telling you, yes. This is good to me. I can't help it. If you'd have seen that lady's new fingers. Boy, she's an awesome cook. That lady cooked me so much food. Man, I like it. Now, we're not on the leper anymore. We're on the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Look at verse 41. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven. He blessed, gave thanks, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided among them all. Hello, did you hear me? Does y'all's Bible read similar to that? Well, if you truly love Jesus, then what are you fretting over when you're running out of things around you? I want you to let your faith go. I want you to let your heart believe God. I want you to stretch yourself. Just, what if this is real? Just what if? Well, I just happen to have a couple of stories here that happened to us. I got into a campaign a while back, and that thing was, we planned for 2,000 Indians to come. Okay? Now, you just can't believe how much corn and beans to feed 2,000 Indians over a 4-day campaign. Whoa, geez, that's a lot of corn. That's truckloads of corn and beans. But you don't want to just give them corn and beans and rice. You want to also give them a little meat. So here you got to buy some pigs. Man, that's a couple of truckloads of pigs. But boy, we believed God, and those brothers fasted and prayed and sought the Lord and got some money together. They grow a lot of the stuff. So we put all this money in the pile, and oh, we had it all ready. We were organized.
But there's one small problem. The weather had cooperated with the crops. There was an abundance of corn and beans. So the people's heart was glad. So when it come time, and the weather was awesome. It was beautiful. Like here, beautiful days. So when it came time for the campaign, you know what happened? We didn't get 2,000. We got 5,000. More than double what we had planned for. And I'm not number conscious, okay? So you have trouble with me because I just don't think about it. I just get them all there, put them in a pile, and preach the gospel to them. But the brother whose church was hosting this, and well, actually it was a whole group of churches, he comes up to me, "Brother David, we have a serious problem." I said, "The weather's cooperating. The sound systems are working good. The people showed up. Look at all the people." He said, "That's the problem." He said, "We have too many people here to feed." I said, "No kidding. Well, what do we have?" He said, so I went back to this huge area. It was awesome. How many women was cooking and men was cutting and cleaning and, oh boy, it was a massive thing back there. I said, "Looks to me like we've got plenty of food here." He said, "We do. But only for 2,000. Remember?" I said, "Oh yeah, I do remember. What are we going to do?" They said. I literally said this. "Let's give it to them to eat." And they said, "But we don't have enough." I said, "Come here." I took the pastor by the hand, brought him over to the bean bucket. It was probably a 100-gallon thing full of beans. I said, "Listen to me. You lay hands on this bucket and you get me some elders around here and we're going to pray and the Holy Ghost is going to do for us like He did for Jesus." So he goes and gets the elders and I'm walking around touching all the buckets. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. I'm touching ladies. I'm touching everything. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus. And all the ladies, of course, if I'm there saying it's going to happen, they are shouting. The elders, who, you know, have the money purse, they were a little bit more worried than the ladies were. And so I'm saying to them, "We're going to lay hands on this thing and don't worry about it anymore. God is going to give us the food right out of the food we already have." Now then, we had several things they call pilas. They're big old things with, they're made out of copper that they cook in. It doesn't give any flavor to the food except what they want. It's a really good thing to cook in. And so they're all lined up now. They got them. They brought them off the fires. These men are carrying them. And I mean, it's a big thing. Now the meetings are going on around there. The people are worshiping God. Hallelujah. They don't know now this is happening. So we all gathered around that food and we said, "In the name of Jesus, give us some food." Now we have our pots full of food. What are we asking for? We want double food out of the same pot. Brother Hogan, you have lost it. No, I hadn't. You would have. We fed every person, 5,000 people ate, and the food never diminished. You hear me? You think your food bill is light. You wait till Jesus touches your food bill, boy. And it won't be. You know, I don't eat much when I'm at your house. You said that earlier. What if Jesus touched it? We'd like that, wouldn't we? Bible says in verse 43, "And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fishes, and they did eat of the loaves 5,000 men." I have seen it, and I believe it. But the problem is, I believed it before I saw it. That's why I got to see it. Did that confuse you or did that understand you? I mean, do you understand? All right. Now then, I did that in front of my whole family, everybody. Do you understand? We had, at that campaign alone, we had 40 people that were blind, got their eyesight. miracles started falling. Boom. And it was fun. To watch people that are walking around with sticks, all of a sudden they drop their stick and start running. Oh, that's fun. Fun. Y'all done got me stirred up now, boy. I'm serious. I am cooking, buddy. Woo! You're not kidding. Oh, man, what a God. Because you see, my son Jody, who is now 24, was not that old then. And the other day, this is good. He went out to a village. Oh, it wasn't nearly the seriousness of the problem. The brother only had a certain amount of food. He was expecting about 25, 30 people for church. 120 came. Now, the difference in them and you is, every mouth that comes to church, they are responsible according to their custom to feed it. Okay? See, here we live a more impersonal lifestyle. Same in the United States. You come, get it. If you don't get it, you know, see you later. Come get it next time. But there we break bread together every time we have church and everybody gets fed. So it brings around a lot of miracles because they don't have a lot of food. This brother from Pansukitempa, Brother Ermilo, well, he's probably the oldest elder we've got. He's in his high 70s. Good man! He comes like he's been with me for years. And he walks up to my son. My son now, who grew up on this man's knee, do you hear me? He is now leading that man who is an elder to him. Is that confusing or what? Okay. But it's really not. He tells my son, Brother Jody, I've got a problem. I wouldn't normally bother you, but you see, I've bothered your daddy in the past. Now the pressure's on my son, you understand? When people say, I've talked to your daddy in the past, now the pressure's on him to exceed me. And that's good pressure. That's good pressure to put on a young minister. That's not bad. That's good. Because he's got to have God touch him, you see. Because if he preaches it, he inevitably is going to have to live it in a minute. Okay. You hear that, right? All right. So this boy, he says to him, he says, you mean we don't have enough food? He said, well, you know, my son is really smart. When he graduated high school, he was in the top 1,000 students in the United States. Smart boy. So he's pretty intellectual. And so he says to the man, he says, well, you know, me and the Americans, we don't have to eat, you know. He says, no, you don't understand, Brother Jody. That is a worse reproach than running out of food is. You are the honored guest. You must eat. And he says to my son, do you not remember, son, what your daddy did in all of those campaigns when we ran out of food? He said, yes, sir, I do. Let's go pray. He walks back into the kitchen. They had a little bitty pile of food. I mean, it was a little bitty. It's all they had in the house. My son and the elders lay hands on this food and command it to multiply according to the will of God. Be granted in Jesus' name. 120 people ate. And when they got through, the plate still had the same amount they started with. Come on! Woo! Yes! I like this gospel. Y'all getting tired of it yet? You sure? Okay. I want you to look at something. There's a couple of very important statements made in the next few verses. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get in the ship and go to the other side. So while he sent away the multitude. And while he sent them away, he departed into a mountain. What for? Why do you need to pray if you get miracles? So you can keep miracles. So you can keep the power flowing. So you can keep the door open to God. So you can keep the heavens open. Because I don't like it when they feel like brass. How many times do you say, man, I believe God, I love Jesus, but man, it feels like my prayers are hitting the ceiling, bouncing back. Well, why don't we backtrack to the place that we caused it to happen, because it was us that did it,
God won't shut you out if you're His child. And let's say to Him, I repent, Holy God, and I want the heavens open. And He'll open them for you. He'll do it. All right. Now, here, let's keep going here. It says, and when the evening was come, the ship was in the middle of the sea, and He was alone on the land. Now, verse 48 is one of the most important scriptures you'll ever read in your Bible. Now watch. He saw them toiling. We're sitting out here with all these major problems. Sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's marital, sometimes it's disease-oriented, sometimes it's just neighbors, sometimes it's ever. Who knows why the devil just comes and slaps you in the face. But Jesus is watching. Let me say this to you, and I'm going to say it. I just have to. I just can't. I probably could stop it if I wanted to. I don't want to. It is not the will of God for you to be toiling in the middle of the storm. It's not the will of God for you to be toiling in the middle of the storm. It says right in my Bible, for the wind was contrary to him, and about the fourth watch of the night, here he come walking. Thank you, Jesus. And he would have passed them by, but they were so afraid, they saw him walking on the water. Wah! There's that ghost walking on the water. And he walked over there, climbed in the boat. He said, I ain't no ghost. Handle me, fellas. And when he stepped into the boat, the wind ceased. Now, I've got to tell you, the only time the wind is against you and you're toiling is when Jesus ain't in the boat with you. Uh-oh! I just had to say that. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to get Jesus in the boat. We're going to let Him come in there. We're not going to be afraid of the fire. We're not going to be afraid of the glory. We're not going to be afraid. What's going to happen to me? Well, what if He just really touches you? Let's think about that for a minute. How nice would that be? How wonderful. Oh, what a God. The winds quit blowing. All right, he said, be of good cheer. I'm with you. Now, they were so amazed. Have you ever noticed any, have you ever been around very many people when they get healed? They get into amazement that Jesus touched them. They start using whatever it was broke. They start trying it. See, well, is it still there? Oops, hello, are you hurting head? Hello. These boys were the same way. There's a certain amount of wonderment that comes with that Holy Ghost. And it's all right. It's all right. He went to Gennesaret and drew to the shore, throwed his thing down. Now, I've got to tell you this, even though it's probably going to cost me some more of you. I wish I could tell you I walked on the water. I didn't. I fell in. I did try, didn't I? More than once, that's right. One night I tried it six times. And that old roaring, raging river towed me away. Wah! So I just dove in and swam the thing. What a God. But I will tell you a story. And it's pretty awesome. There was a lady in our ministry. Now there's been two of them. Actually, yeah, two of them. That got on the wrong bus and was carried away way up the mountain. Two of them now. This was, when I was here last time, it was just one, but this time it's two. And I'm glad. Next time, I hope it's four. There will be. You'll see. Y'all keep letting me come back. Well, I'm pretty rough with you. But I have to be.
can't let, I can't lose you. You can't be lost to a wicked heart of unbelief. You must believe in Jesus. These ladies, both of them, did the same thing. One of them gets up on the bus. She thought she can't read Spanish. Whose fault is it? They put the letters in Spanish instead of Nahuatl. Is it her fault? She's never been out of her village. She steps up on this bus. It was going the wrong way. She don't have any money. She's got two bolsas. They're bags. What is it like to these people? There's nothing like it. They don't have nothing like it. No. It's what you carry your stuff, your wares to the market back at home and around. She had two of them, big ones full. She had a baby on her back. And she's standing in this bus. And I mean, people are like that. And so 1 hour goes by. She never gets off. 2 hours go by. And finally, the guy on the bus says, "Where's your money?" She don't understand Spanish. She don't have any money. So you know how nice people are. They threw her off the bus. She's 2 hours by bus away from where she started, which is an hour by bus and then 2 hour walk. So she's 3 hours by bus and 2 hours by walking away from her village. What are we going to do now? She's completely out of her tribe of Indians. You know what's going to happen to her? Somebody's going to capture her and make her a slave. They're going to sell her baby on the black market. That's what's going to happen to her. Did you hear me? That's what's left for her. Her mind knows that. But back home, the pastor, friend of mine, good guy, he comes there and looks for his wife. She's not to be found. He gets on the bus and goes home. He gets home, she's not home. So what do? She could be anywhere. She could be dead, raped. She could be anywhere. Place is pretty volatile. He gets the elders together. They're praying in the church. Jesus' name, God, wherever she's at, bring her home. Oh, God, have mercy on her. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. I mean, these people were desperate. They were passionate. They were compassionate. They were mad. They were sad. They were everything. Now, the lady up the mountain got her two bags and her baby. She don't know the way home, but she starts running back the way the bus was coming, right? She blacked out. She comes to. She walked into the church. Did you hear what I said to you? She was transported by the Holy Ghost. Woo! You see why I'm excited? Wouldn't you be? Wouldn't you be excited? Wow, this miracle thing works. This name of Jesus is awesome.